It's officially DC festival season, and we're super excited about this one coming up on May 18th. Africa on the Avenue is a celebration of the vibrant African immigrant community along Georgia Avenue Northwest. There's going to be interactive art installations, fashion shows, music, food, and local business stands. This one-day festival, organized by District Bridges' Lower Georgia Avenue Main Street program, truly has something for everyone. So I'll see you there on May 18th. Go to districtbridges.org to learn more.
Today on CityCast DC, we are talking metro fare evasion, the future of Nats Park, and the cost of a parking space. I'm here with CityCast contributor Dan Reed and our senior producer Julia Caron. Today is Friday, March 15th. I'm Michael Schaefer, and here's what DC is talking about. Hey, Dan.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Julia.
Hey, Mike.
Good to see you guys. So this week, Metro has revealed that thanks to a provision in the recently passed Secure DC Crime Bill, they're going to start issuing citations for fare evasion starting Monday, March 18th. Someone stuffed for fare evasion is going to have to provide their legal name and address to police, or else they will face arrest and a fine of up to $100. Apparently, under the regime that held sway before this law and after DC decriminalized fare evasion, all they could do is say, hey, can you go back and please pay? Didn't really have the power to do anything if the person didn't comply. You know, I have to say, just like the other day, I was walking into the Van Ness UDC metro station, and the guy right in front of me is a very tall guy. He stepped right over the gate and walked on in. And I, like, almost like involuntarily, I was like, hey, man, or something like that. And that's, you know, he turned around. That was the entirety of the exchange. But, like, you know, when you talk about sort of DC right now, and there's, you know, there's been stories of, like, really pretty grotesque, you know, horrific crime, and this is not that. And yet so many people, you know, sort of harp on this as a, you know, they can't stand it. Now, maybe it's like disorder and lawlessness, like right in front of them. Or maybe it's that, like, someone is flagrantly not paying for something that you at that very moment are paying for. But I'm like, you know, does this infuriate you guys the way it does me?
A little bit. This feels like the one little transgression that I think most people experience in their daily lives. Like, not everyone's going to be exposed to, like, big crimes.
Right.
But you will see teens jumping the fare gates. I get on at Fort Totten most of the time, and it has been fun watching as Metro tests out different styles of fare gates over the past year, watching the teens who go through that station defeat them every single time.
I know. These teens need to go to the Olympics for high jumping, because it's wild. They basically, like, will plant themselves on the sides and then, like, try to, like, yank themselves over, or, like, they'll step on the sides and just walk. Like, the saloon doors were supposed to fix this. And it's clear, like, if people are that desperate to not pay a fare, they will find a way to not pay that fare.
Except that the thing is that they didn't, like, used to. The fare evasion was, like, never a big thing in Metro. There was just sort of a shared code of, you pay the fare.
It feels like that.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there was some, but, like, it was not in the way it is now. And Metro is, compared to, like, cities where you only have to pay when you walk in, it's tougher to fare evade. You have to do it twice. But, you know, at some point, sort of that consensus broke. And I'm married to a Canadian. And up there, apparently, you know, littering is really frowned upon. And, you know, to this day, when my wife sees someone litter, it kind of bothers her. There's been, like, a little transgression. In a way, it doesn't bother me as an American who comes from a, you know, filthier society. I wonder if it's just sort of that there's, like, a sort of dueling social codes. You know, you can also go, like, big sociology thinking of, like, I think people in their paranoia will think, gee, if this person's willing to break the rules against fare evasion, maybe he or she is willing to also break rules against, like, pulling out a gun or something.
I mean, I'm focused a lot on teens because that's who I see doing this the most. Like, they don't have a lot of money. They have the discounted Smart Trip cards, but they can be hard to get. I know in Montgomery County, there's, like, three schools in the whole county where you have to go to one of them to pick up your card.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they don't make it easy. And so you might as well just jump the thing because you're entitled to it already, right? I don't feel great about kids getting like their first experience with law enforcement after jumping the fair gates.
Right.
The adults, I don't know, you guys.
I'm at Cleveland Park, and every time I'm on the metro going to Cleveland Park or coming back to Cleveland Park, like some adult hops the fair gate. It is a very common occurrence for me. And I'm just like, all right, like I know that this is going to happen. It's like totally fine. Like it's going to be what it is.
So the new strategy they've rolled out, the new consequence they've rolled out, it's not exactly stringent. You know, they will stop you, the authorities, if they see you fare evading, and they will demand your name and address. And if you do not give it, they may give you a ticket for up to $100, or you may face arrest, which is just to say, I could jump a fare and say, my name is Dan Reed.
No, don't do that to me.
How many Simpsons fake names like Seymour Butts are we going to get out of this? Like, that is what I would like to know. Someone's going to come up with like some crazy funny names for this. You know?
You don't have to show ID, right? That's the point.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't say, you know, not everyone carries ID and, you know, all these things because of, you know, the nature of our society, they can be enforced in unfair ways. And I guess it boils down to like, is fare evasion more akin to like walking into a drugstore and stealing something worth $2.50? Or is it more akin to like running a red light, which you're not allowed to do, but, you know, if you do it and no one sees and no one is hurt, you know, life goes on. I don't know the answer to that, but the consequence, I think, sort of depends on the framework. Is this a property crime or is this a moving violation?
I think part of it is like, does the enforcement mechanism actually work, right? Like, so when you run a red light, if the light has a camera that flashes and supposedly you get a ticket and that's supposed to curb the behavior from happening. If you go into a CVS and you steal like $2 worth of insert, you know, shampoo, body wash, whatever, supposedly there are cameras there and like maybe they will find you eventually.
No, but I
like,
mean, if you get caught, in theory, you can get right. arrested. And sure. Some stores have rules of like, we are going to call the police no matter who, you know. So like, that's a hell of a disincentive, you sure. know. I mean, you might think you'd get away with it. And oftentimes you do.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, what do you think, Dan? I mean, is this DC is, it remains like not a criminal thing. It remains a civil penalty. Is this going to sort of put the genie back in the bottle of like, you know, restoring the code of like, no one would even think to not pay?
This is one of those things we have to look at the causes, right? Like, why do people jump the fare gate? Because they don't have money, right?
I don't know if that's true.
Well, let's assume, right? Let's assume at least some of them are. Then solutions are making it easier to get the discounted Metro cards if you're a teenager or if you're a senior. Or also DC had a proposal last year to make Metro free. Or to provide like a subsidy for DC residents. Like those are all things that can address at least part of the problem, right? Because once it's there's the issue of you don't have money to pay your fare is alleviated, that means whatever causes are left over, it's easier to deal with that and maybe target it better.
Everybody knows that getting that perfect Mother's Day gift is basically impossible, but we promise Mom will love this one. The Capitol Hill Restoration Society House and Garden Tour is back this Mother's Day weekend on May 11th and May 12th. Tour 9 elaborate homes and gardens and 3 historic buildings on Capitol Hill that you can't normally enter. And if you can't make it, check out the Capitol Hill Restoration Society's other events like walking tours and monthly preservation cafes. You can buy tickets for the Mother's Day House and Garden Tour on Eventbrite, and be sure to follow CHRS on Facebook and Instagram at Capitol Hill Restoration DC. Hey DC, one of the reasons hosting this show is so important to me is this statistic from the U.S. Surgeon General. Ready for it? The percentage of Americans who report feeling very attached to their community is only 16%. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that number, which, by the way, is pre-pandemic data. But here's how I'm thinking about it. CityCast DC is something that we're building to make it easier for you to feel attached to this community. I don't want anyone to feel lonely or bored here in DC. I want you to know how you can help make this city more fun and more livable, and where all the good local stuff is at. And if you think we're doing a good job, I'm asking if you'll become a member of CityCast DC today at membership.citycast.fm. You'll get exclusive perks like ad-free listening, event invites, and members-only guides. But most of all, you'll be part of a project dedicated to making the number of DC residents who feel attached to this community a heck of a lot higher than 16%. See you over at membership.citycast.fm, and thank you.
On a much bigger spend note, there is news this week about Nats Park, the home of our Washington Nationals, and potentially the last remaining professional big league sports stadium in the district. They need some stuff, and the city government is suddenly much more aware of the consequences of what happens if you don't give a sports mogul the stuff they want in their publicly owned stadium. What is happening there, Julia?
All right. So as we've discovered with Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Caps and the Wizards, threatening to move teams has really gotten DC Council together for at least one thing, and that is for Nats Park. Nats Park, it turns out, is turning 16 years old. It's a teenager. It can get its license. Wild. Wild. But that also means that it needs repairs, which, as we've discovered, cost a lot of money. Recently, the city spent about $20 million for a new scoreboard and stadium lighting for opening day on April 1st. But apparently, the stadium's going to need something like $350 million in upgrades through like the team's lease in 2038. So what is going to happen is Chairman Mendelson of the DC Council has introduced basically this bill that will shunt money from a revenue fund for the park that already exists, and it goes towards repair. And this is going to get funded through sales taxes. So like when you go buy a hot dog and a beer or whatever, that sales tax.
Wait, the just sales tax in the stadium, or when I go buy a hot dog and a beer at my neighborhood bar or my CVS?
In the stadium specifically.
Okay.
Did you say you're buying hot dogs at CVS?
All the time, don't you? No, I steal them.
That's the $2 item. They're going to get you for that. Exactly. Yeah. So he's basically saying, okay, let's set up a higher sales tax within the stadium. Your hot dog and your beer are going to cost more than $2. They already did cost more than $2, but now they're going to cost more. That money is going to go to this little maintenance section. And the goal, hopefully, is to make it self-sustaining. Why? Well, so that way it funds itself and the Nats don't have to leave and beg the mayor for money.
Wait. Are you saying that between now and 2038, which is to say 14 years,
it'll be a fully grown adult by then,
we're going to generate $350 million in hot dog and beer sales taxes at a baseball stadium, at one baseball stadium?
They're very expensive.
That, but it's also, think about like merchandise costs a lot of money too. Obviously they sell food and stuff, but they also sell like the Nats merchandise. And
that's a third of $1 billion.
I know. It is a lot of money.
But look at the other sort of news around Nats Park this season, and I think it's related, although this connection wasn't explicitly made. The Nationals are offering $5 tickets, $5 tickets just for DC residents. This has miffed fans from Maryland and Virginia, who are, I think, it's the great majority of the area and probably the great majority of the fans too. But to me, the transaction seems pretty clear, which is that this is like we DC residents are the ones whose budget and whose tax dollars are on the hook for the things the team wants. And giving us discounted tickets is a little thank you, a little Benny we get by virtue of that being our government who's paying it. That's not the case for people from Maryland or Virginia. And I guess now that I hear what you're saying, maybe the money you're saving by only spending $5 on your ticket is money you could spend on taxable hot dogs and t-shirts.
It's a loss leader, right? Gets you in the door.
Exactly. Although, Dan, you're not eligible for that reward. How are you feeling about not?
I live walking distance to the DC line. Can I get like $6?
I don't think it works that way, buddy. All right. So, Dan, I thought of you when I saw this. The Urban Turf had this interesting kind of check-in this month about the average price people pay for a parking space, which is to say you can sell not just a house, but a parking space. It varies by neighborhood. What do you make of it? And tell me what you would pay.
Yeah. So in a previous role, I worked as a transportation planner for a decade. And the thing that I got to sing the gospel of all over the country was parking is really expensive to build. It's like $30,000 for a space and like a structure.
Meaning if you're building a building, the like actual cost of like creating a parking space is about $30,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Even more if it's underground, it's expensive, right? So like, especially where space is at a premium, parking is expensive. And a lot of buildings, especially in DC, you know, the parking spaces are charged separately from if you buy like a condo or something, or you have to pay extra for it if you're in an apartment. So UrbanTurf looked at how much parking spaces cost to like buy on the market around the city. And they found the average is about 25 to 30 grand across DC, which, you know.
So this means like I, a car owner, can go to you, a property owner, and say, I would like to purchase this parking space from you. Is that what they're talking about?
And it will cost as much as your car.
And you'll say to me, sure, that'll be $42,000 since I'm in Logan Circle.
That's right.
And then I get that parking space forever?
Yeah. The parking spaces in some cases are like deeded properties. You own it. I used to live in a condo with the parking space, and it was its own separate thing with its own separate property taxes, its own separate deed. I never bothered to sell it because I had a car. So, but across DC, though, the prices can change really dramatically depending on where you are. And not surprisingly, the closer you are to downtown or the closer you are to like a hotspot, it's more expensive. So like a garage space in, say, Columbia Heights or Brooklyn would be like $16,000. But in DuPont, they found it would cost about $40,000, $42,000 in Logan Circle, $50,000 in Foggy Bottom if you want to be like near the hospital or GW. And the hottest parking real estate in D.C., and if you've tried to park there, you know, is Adams Morgan, where they found someone is asking $90,000 for a full garage, like not just a space, but I'm guessing like a little garage in somebody's yard.
And the idea is the purchaser of this would be someone who has like, say, a condo or something that doesn't have like a row house with a space out back.
Or maybe you work in DC and you want like a guaranteed place to park your car.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of money for you. That $90,000 would buy a lot of Uber rides.
I mean, you know, you're in the wrong business. You got to go buy a parking space.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, my parking spot in Cleveland Park is included in my rent. It's very rare that that happens. Typically, you have to, like, go through the process of, like, you know, registering your car and, like, you get, you know, the Ward 3 or 4, whatever, like, parking sticker. I think I've tried to do the math on how much my parking space costs in my alley. And I think it would average to something like $200, maybe $300 a month. And I was like, ooh, what if I rented out my spot to someone else? Could I just like get that income for me? Thank you very much. That would be kind of nice.
Yeah, different buildings have different policies about that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that because I actually need my car, unfortunately, to do, you know, things like go play ice hockey out in Rockville. So unfortunately, I can't rent out my parking spot. But it is a dream to just have that little passive income with that parking spot. Let someone's car be the thing that gives you more money.
Dan, how much would you pay for parking?
Oh boy.
I mean, for knowing that you're not going to have to drive around the neighborhood looking for a space and wondering how far it is to, you know, carry your groceries into your house. I don't know what you do with a car at all, but like how much would, given the way your specific life is set up right now, how much would you pay?
Well, if I had to think about it, right? Like the 40 or 50 grand for a parking space in like a mortgage is only a couple hundred dollars a month. So I suppose I would do that. Like I have a driveway, so I can park my car in front of my house, which is really nice. And it is really convenient with when I have my dog or groceries or a big thing from IKEA. So I suppose I would be in the market for a 5-digit priced parking space.
All right. Well, anyone who owns one, I can connect you with Dan if you need. Anyway, Dan, awesome to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Julia, awesome to see you too.
Thanks, Mike.
And that is all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, we would love your support. You can sign up to be a member for just $8 a month, $8 a month, much less than the cost of a parking space. You sign up at membership.citycast.fm and you'll get ad-free listening and early access to live events. Once again, that's membership.citycast.fm. Thank you. Our senior executive producer is Priyanka Tilvey. Our senior producer is Julia Caron. Our newsletter editor is Kayla Cote Stemmerman. Our production assistant is Ash Durbin. And our hosts are Bridget Todd and me, Michael Schaefer from Politico. Music is by Alex Roldan. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Bye.